Welcome to the Dr. Jaren podcast. This morning, we are joined by Dr. Damian Dexius, an obstetrician and gynecologist joining us from Spain this morning. And Dr. Dexius has a specialist interest in pre-malignant conditions of the cervix, the vagina, and the vulva. So this morning, we are going to speak specifically about papillocare. So it's a vaginal gel treatment option for the treatment of HPV and low-grade cervical lesions. So it's very interesting. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Dexius.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Firstly, we should start just with a little introduction about what HPV is, how prevalent it is, and what it does specifically in the cervix.
Yeah, I guess that you all know what HPV is, but it's the main character in a lower genital tract disease. There's probably very low disease burden if we don't have HPV. It's clearly the most common sexually transmitted infection, at least here in Spain, and I think this is something that's worldwide. Until now, we've only, in a way, we've been dealing with so many patients that were tested HPV positive and didn't have huge or really important lesions, but they kept coming on and on and on and once and again to our office because they need to do something about this HPV positive condition. And until the date, we haven't been doing much because we considered low-grade lesions as kind of a normal physiological, in a way, response of the cervix to the presence of the virus. So we didn't feel the need of doing something. And this is something that has really been changing for the last, I'd say, decade, especially since we have Dr. Google, because then patients clearly demand for something, some proactive attitude. And that's what we've been trying to do. We've been trying to come up with new strategies, and this is where we think that the papillocare has a role to play.
Yeah, it's so exciting. And, you know, I've the experience for me as a GP here in Ireland, I experienced the same feedback from patients that this idea of watchful waiting is less and less acceptable to patients. And, you know, we have the same experience here in Ireland as well of, you know, returning again and HPV is persistent or the low-grade lesion is persistent. And the most common question I'm asked as a GP if somebody has HPV is, what can I do? How can I treat it? How can I get rid of this? And up to now, mostly I've just said, if you're a smoker, you know, quit smoking. And after that, we just do watchful waiting, which is very difficult for people to psychologically, you know, I kind of accept that. So that's where papillocare comes in. So it's a vaginal gel treatment that can help to treat HPV. So how exactly does it work?
I don't know if you do know what the ingredients of papillocare are, but first thing, and I think that's really interesting nowadays, is that papillocare is a completely natural vaginal gel. I mean, it's made of five different ingredients, all of them natural, which again might sound a bit maybe not so important, but nowadays people look for kind of not strictly pharmaceutical products, no? So yes, That's interesting. And to be honest, that's the reason why I enrolled in the first place in the study, because it was the first chance that I had to really test and study something called natural, which we had to prove if it really was useful or not. But the main ingredients of papillocare are Coriolis versicolor. Coriolis versicolor is something that I had no idea what that meant. But if you go a little bit into literature, you'll see that it's been widely used for centuries in China, clearly. We had no experience, although in Europe we found some literature and publications very interesting by Couto in Portugal, who used Coriolis versicolor orally. So the guys at the lab wanted to try this, but locally with the vaginal gel, and then they added to this product beta glucans. I don't know if that's a correct word in English.
Yes.
They also use begonia, neem, and a few other substances, trying to demonstrate that they had a synergistic action, which I think we've proven until date, up to now. You will see we can talk about eventually whenever you want about the results of the randomized clinical trial. The results are very interesting. So these are the basic ingredients. Again, all of them natural, extremely well tolerated by our patients, and that's obviously very important, because if it's uncomfortable, any vaginal product isn't going to be strictly comfortable. Obviously, we understand that, but it hasn't been generating or we haven't been reporting any severe secondary effects. Although some of the patients do complain about initial sensation of itchiness, which disappears in 30 seconds, but that's the most we've had. We didn't have to take any of the patients out of the study because of any severe condition due to the testing. So that's good news.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, so you're directly involved in these early studies in this treatment, and you know you mentioned the key ingredient is this Coriolis versicolor, uh-huh. And how exactly does that work? What is that ingredient doing to the HPV?
Well, you know that HPV is, despite being a very simple virus, especially when we're talking about 16 and probably 18, but HPV has the capability of displaying strategies in order to make the immune response in the cervical area extremely poor, very, very poor. It already is because of its histological and anatomical condition, but with the virus going around there, it's even worse, because the virus has the capability of displaying some kind of strategies that reduce the production of cytokines and interleukins. Mm-hmm. So Coriolis versicolor and neem, both together probably in this synergistic strategy, are able to counteract this anti-inflammatory strategy displayed by the virus. And that we demonstrated in a very, very short study with artificial vaginal tissue. And they published this back in 2015, but they measured the production of some of these molecules, interleukinas, 1, 10, 12, loads of them, and demonstrated how the synergistic action of Coriolis and neem, both together, were able to bring back all those molecules in order to restore the normal signaling in the defense cells.
Okay, so interesting. So those ingredients help to restore the immune response there at the cervix and in the genital tract, and then restore those interleukins or those immune cells. It's so interesting. And as well, like you said, you know, these are not pharmaceuticals or pharmaceutical products. And, you know, this is available over the counter here in Ireland, you know, so these aren't heavy duty pharmaceutical products.
That's it.
So who is Papillocare most suitable for?
Okay, if I stick to the results of the first of our trials, I should say HPV positive women aged 30 or older with low grade lesions, because that's what we had in our first trial. We've gone past through that, but what we published at that stage was older than 30, because we know that below 30 they have a very high chance of eliminating the viral infection, the presence, or even if they have low-grade lesions, they will probably be able to solve that by their own. So we didn't want to test it in women very young, especially because here in Spain, it would be considered malpraxis to use HPV test in someone below 30s. So we didn't want to recruit them. So again, above 30, low-grade lesion, HPV positive. That would be our objective nowadays.
So interesting. And, you know, just another important point as well for people listening, you know, under age 30, or here in Ireland, we start cervical screening at age 25. But, you know, those, you know, younger girls in particular, you know, it's very, very common, and HPV will clear on its own. So papillocare is most suitable for women over age 30 or HPV positive.
Yeah,
question I'm quite commonly asked is, does it matter what type of HPV?
No, it doesn't matter. And to be honest, I'm not being strictly honest with you when I say I'm not using it below that age.
Okay.
Because that's what we have to say, because that's what we've published. But
yes, that's where the evidence is for now.
Yeah, that's where the evidence is. But we're using it with any patient who has an HPV positive test or a low grade lesion. We're going to be using it because they're asking for something safe that has demonstrated some utility. So that's to be honest what we are doing.
Yes. Okay. So the evidence here, the published research is in women over 30. Yeah. However, there, you know, if a younger girl wants to try it, by all means, you know, she can as well.
I wouldn't discourage her to do it.
Yes. Got you.
Let's put it that way.
And it's down to patient preference, of course, as well. You know, if the patient wants to, you know, and in discussion with her gynecologist, yes. Then in terms of the cervical lesion, so if a woman has, you know, a CIN1 or LSIL, low-grade lesions, papillocare is suitable. But what about the higher-grade lesions?
Well, that's a tricky question. We haven't published... When I say we, please remember that I'm talking about the group who initially started all these studies and always sponsored by the lab, okay? So that just to be clear about that. The lab by no means wanted to test papillocare in high-grade lesions in the beginning because that was too optimistic. We clearly had to demonstrate things in lower grade lesions, and secondary endpoint of the first study was to demonstrate clear HPV clearance. Okay, not just normalizing the cytology, the pap smear, but also clearing virus. Once we did that, we wanted to move forward, but it didn't make any sense to try it in high lesions before this wait and see attitude was accepted in CIN2 patients in the Spanish guidelines.
Yes.
Once that happened, then some other groups, not us from the lab, but some other groups have been testing CIN2 HPV 16, 18, 31 positive women and papillocare with very, 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 really very interesting results. Yet to be published in the big series, but there are three ongoing studies nowadays with high-grade lesions and HPV positive women taken care of with papillocare. So that's clearly what we are aiming for in the end.
Wow. Okay. Yes. Yeah, so really, really exciting area of research for us to keep an eye on. It's exciting and something to keep an eye on and a treatment option where there was no treatment option before.
Exactly.
And what about women with a past history of a LETS procedure, the lower loop excision, or any previous procedures with their colposcopist? Could they use it as well?
Yes. They can use it. We were aiming for a new study, three different studies, but we haven't had the okay from the CEOs yet. But there was one trying to test what you're asking. The answer is, again, with no published evidence, just with our day evidence and what we're doing, the answer is clearly yes. Because again, if we explain things correctly to our patients and we let them know that just by the reason that they've previously had HPV-related conditions, we know that they are at a higher risk in the future of developing, again, some problems. So that's the kind of patient that will say, hey, I'm not going to just wait and see what happens in the future. Can I do something about this? Well, there's, again, a gap in which we feel that papillocare has a very important role to play. Clearly, yes.
Yes. Yes. Can I ask you more about the research that you are involved in, just the studies and what they've shown, and I guess the numbers, what the key findings in the major published research, and what those findings are and what the statistics are around the efficacy of papillocare?
Yeah, people tend to criticize now when we present our data, because please remember that this started in 2015. There was absolutely nothing around in terms of this kind of products, or even considering treating low-grade lesions. So at that point, when we started designing the study, the Paloma randomized clinical trial, we recruited patients, as I said before, HPV-positive patients, any HPV-positive, low-grade lesions, and then we performed colposcopy in all of them. All the samples were sent to a central lab so that there was no bias there. We had three different groups in the Paloma trial. One had the conventional treatment, and that is the schedule 1+5, meaning there's a total 6-month treatment, being the first month on a daily basis, always skipping a menstrual period if there is period. And then there are 5 additional months or every other day. Then we had the second arm of the study, in which we tested 3+3. That meaning this, that we did 3 months on a daily basis and then 3 other months every other day. And obviously then the control group. The results we've published are combining both groups, because we didn't have a bigger N to publish just the individual results. But the results were really, really very encouraging. When we looked at the control group, the negative pap smear at 3 and 6 months, the results were pretty high. We didn't expect that in the control group. It was higher than expected. But we had a 55% at 3 months in the control group and a 65% at 6 months. But when we checked the both treatment groups, we had a 78%. At 3 months and 85% at 6 months. So there was a statistically significant difference there in both groups when it came to normal pap smear with a normal colposcopy always. When we checked the secondary endpoint, and that was HPV clearance, the results were even better. Again, it was a bit not astonishing, but we didn't expect a high rate, a clearance rate in the control group. And we did have a 52% at 3 months and a 56%, which means that it was a bit higher than expected. But when we compared control group and both treatment groups, the difference was very, very clear. And that meaning this 52% against 88% at 6 months. So there again, there was a statistically significant result. A second publication extracting data from this first trial, we looked at the worst scenario possible, and that was women above 40 with the worst viruses possible. And that's absolutely made up by us, but worst possible meaning 16, 18, and 31. And again, the differences were statistically significant. So when we're still treating and dealing with low-grade lesions, the difference were very obvious. When we went to a worse scenario, again, it proved to be very useful. So obviously, and if we go back to your first question, if we go back to the question in which you said we were asking us, are you going to test this with high-grade lesions? The answer is clearly yes, because when we tested this in the best scenario, it worked. Good news. When we tested this in the worst scenario possible of the good patients, again, it was okay. So the next step clearly has to be high-grade lesions.
Yes, that's so interesting. You know, the results from your Paloma trial, if anybody wants to look it up or read more, it's the Paloma trial, and they show statistically significant results. You know, it's important to remember, you know, like we said at the outset, you know, some people do clear HPV on their own and clear low-grade lesions on their own, and there is the watchful waiting, and it does go away. However, in your trials, you're seeing that the rates of clearance are higher in the patients who use the Paplocare gel.
Yeah, it is. That's correct. And we also measured something that every now and then people tend to forget about. And I know that it might sound kind of not as important as what we're talking about now, but No one seems to consider the psychological impact of knowing that I am an HPV positive guy. Any of us who's dealing with this kind of patients in our office. That's the main issue most of the times. Do I have to change what I feel about sex? Do I have to change what I'm doing? Do I have to look at my husband or partner or partners in a different way? And that's terrible.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and you're right. We don't see that in the literature, but we see it when we're speaking to patients face to face. It's, you know, I'm very commonly asked, what should I eat? What diet do I need to you know, what am I doing that has caused this, you know, or do I need to disclose this to partners? And, you know, there's a big psychological burden there.
And this guilt sensation, what have I done wrong?
Yeah.
Anything wrong, probably.
Yes.
Again, and now we're able to do this, but if you measure the impact of this psychologically negative scenario and you measure it in terms of cortisol and how that has an impact in the immune response,
yeah.
Well, then it kind of starts to seem more important than what it looked like in the past. So I think that giving them something that we've proven that it works with its limitations, obviously it's not perfect, but gives them this kind of sensation that they're in control of what's going on. They're not just waiting. They're doing something. They have a proactive attitude in terms of, I want to deal with this and I want to do something. If they're comfortable with the idea of just waiting and not doing anything, they still have a very high chance of resolving everything. Okay, that's perfect. But for the other patients, they need something.
Yeah, I mean, you're so right. And that's why my interest in Pavlo Care has been, you know, I've been so interested in it, because it is that, you know, patients feel such, they feel like they want to do something. There are a cohort of patients who want to feel empowered by doing something. And then there is, you know, when there's a gap, then in traditional medicine, people often turn to, you know, unproven methods, you know, or things that aren't proven to work. And they're given hope in that regard. But whereas I feel like it's a really, really nice thing now that I can explain to patients, look, here's Pavlo Care. This is an option if you want to do something. And if the patients want to do watchful waiting, that option is still there, remains.
Of course, that's correct.
Yeah, but there, you know, if that patient who really wants to do something and be proactive, this option is there. And, you know, people have been so receptive to it and so interested in it, you know, so it really is, it's very empowering for women.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So I'm going to just run through, if you don't mind, just so, because I've just been talking about this a little bit on social media, because I have found it interesting. And then some of the common questions that I get back from people online. Some people have asked, can you use Pavlo Care more than once? So if you had HPV, you used Pavlo Care and it cleared it, and then maybe in a few years' time you have HPV again, can you use Pavlo Care again?
For sure, yes. Yes. In fact, there was another of our trials, Papilops, in which there was no significant evidence. The number of patients recruited there was too small to achieve this evidence. But there was a trend in which we saw that there's probably a dose-dependent response to everything, meaning this, that you can use it as many times as you want because it will still be effective. If we have still HPV-positive patients at 6 months, if we push it a little bit longer and bring it up to a year, some of them, a few of them, remember, please, not statistically significant yet, but we were able to recruit a few of them and turn them negative, meaning this, that there's probably a dose dependence of the product, and it gives us a chance of doing different several treatments if with just one we're not successful.
Okay, yes, so interesting. So another part of the research for us to watch out for, very commonly asked, is can it be used during pregnancy and or breastfeeding?
Evidence-based answer? No. Clinician evidence, yes, because it's a very safe product. To be honest, and I know I shouldn't be saying this, because in a way it devalues the evidence published by the randomized clinical trial. But we are using it on a daily basis with practically everyone who demands it. because it has been proven, shown in our daily practice that it's absolutely safe. If the question was, can you tell me what the efficacy of the treatment in a pregnant woman is, or the efficacy of a breastfeeding woman? I don't have an answer for that, because we wanted to have a trial on that, but we're already using it. So yes, the answer,
okay,
you can.
So you're using it in your practice, you know, very commonly. You're seeing it's you know, it's a very safe treatment. It's you know, it's not even a medication.
Tolerability is excellent. So I mean, I don't find why I should be saying no. I have to explain my patients. I mean, the evidence is just my experience, so that's very limited. If I explain it and they agree and they're happy with the idea, that's perfect.
Yeah, totally. And I'm, you know, that's similar in terms of a lot of medications and treatment in pregnancy and breastfeeding. We don't have the research and evidence because we're not going to do trials on pregnant women. However,
you want the approval of the ethics committee, so it doesn't make.
Yes, but you know, but we know that it is not harmful. But as always, it's a discussion with your own doctor. But you are using it with your pregnant and breastfeeding patients after a discussion with them. Very commonly, then I'm asked about genital warts. So you know, HPV 6 and 11. Is there any role there?
I should say yes, but just. The only publications that we've had until now are just case reports, a very, very, very short series presented in different congresses. The answer is yes, but it hasn't been tested yet as the unique treatment, meaning this, if you use this as the only treatment, we have no evidence whatsoever. It's been being used as a co-adjuvant of other treatments, which has little value maybe now. Hopefully, we will have a trial going on with genital warts in a near future. But that's just a matter of what the CEO of Procare Health wants to do and what they want to invest in. But the answer is yes, we're using it.
Okay, yes. Okay, interesting. Another area to watch out for. And another condition with huge psychological burden there as well, you know. What about VIN, vaginal intraepithelial neoplasia?
We haven't tested that. The incidence and the prevalence of VAIN and VIN is clearly lower than the cervical lesions. So we still don't have enough experience dealing with it. We've had a few publications, but again, just case reports. So N equal one is too poor to be saying here, yeah, go ahead, use it. If we think and how the gel is working and what the mechanisms are, we should be expecting a good response. But knowing that the natural history of both these lesions, vagina and vulva, are clearly longer, we will need more time to really be able to say if it's useful or not.
Okay, yes. And then, you know, the vaginal ring contraceptive method, we call it Nuva ring here in Ireland.
Exactly the same here in Spain.
Same?
Yeah. Eshring and Nuva ring, both of them.
Yes. Okay. Can you use Haplocare with that?
Yeah, you can.
Okay, great. Any absolute contraindications to Haplocare?
Intolerance once you use it for the first time. But that's about it. If you use it for the first time and you tolerate it, that's perfect. You won't have any trouble whatsoever.
Okay, so there's no absolute contraindications. Yeah. That's really encouraging to hear. Okay, so this is an interesting one. A common question was, can you use tampons whilst using it? But you've said to me that you skip it during menstruation. So you shouldn't, probably shouldn't be using them together.
You shouldn't. You can, but you shouldn't. Because if you do that, you will be probably diminishing the activity of the gel. I mean, I wouldn't use it. It would be the same as just using half of the dose that you should be using. So it doesn't make too much sense.
And it is quite expensive to buy here in Ireland. So you want to make the most of it.
It's exactly the same here in Spain.
Yes.
It's exactly the same. Okay. It's in a way an expensive product, which I don't totally agree, to be honest, because when I have patients, and this is just a very, very stupid comment, but when I have some of my patients who say, oh, this is very expensive, I'd say maybe at least 70 or 80% of them have the latest iPhone over the So cheap or expensive, that's always a matter of opinions.
I know, we need to remember. Well, it's true. We need to remember, though, to prioritize our health as well, because our health is our wealth.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. So what are like the key take-home messages, if we're just going to sum up, about Papillocare? What do you think are the most important key take-home messages for the listener?
Clearly, first one, safe, natural product. That's the main thing, first. Second, it's been already demonstrated and published in very good quality evidence-based publications, the results of all our randomized clinical trials. And this means that it works. It does work. You might feel that the percentage, the difference is still low, maybe, but it's working. It's a safe, working, off-the-counter product. So that, to me, is clearly what you need to know. If I can give you a third tip, I'd probably say it's scientific evidence-based, what we're saying. So it's not just trying because of the sake of trying something. I'm going to try this or that. We've been doing a huge effort to publish all this data, and it is working. So clearly, if you can, if you feel comfortable, if you feel the need of using something that can work, Papillocare is clearly, should be one of your choices.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a really important point. It's an evidence-based method, because people are going to want to try something, a lot of patients, and this is an evidence-based treatment option available over the counter. So Papillocare here in Ireland is available over the counter from pharmacies nationwide. You can ask your pharmacist to order it in for you. Or it is also available to buy online on premierwellbeing.ie. Dr. Dexia, thank you so much. It was really fascinating to talk to you, and thank you so much for your time. And thank you for the research you're doing on this, because
thank
it's very exciting, and it's great. It's lovely to be able to offer something to patients that they can do, you know, when they do have HPV.
It is. Hopefully we will meet again with new available data of the new research, and I'll see you again.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to today's conversation. This podcast was sponsored by an educational grant provided by Papillocare.